By which we're going to function in the world with each other. It saw that in tragedy in New Zealand, where someone says, this is how we should live. In reality, Jesus gives us the highest view of how to live in this Sermon on the Mount, this remnant, which he teaches us. Before we actually get to that Sermon on the Mount, let me tell you a few words about where it occurred. So this occurred on the Mount of Beatitudes. It's, if you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's like a top of a Q-tip, okay? And on this north edge is where the Mount of Beatitudes is. So the east of that is Capernaum. So the west of that is the Great Plain, known as Gennesaret Plain. The Mount of Beatitudes is a natural swale. It's a beautiful little mountain, what we call Verde. And it's a natural swale in the sense you sit at the top, it like bowls down towards the sea. At the top of that, there's actually a rock that they identified that Jesus sat on when he taught his sermon. And because this was a Jesus moment, guess what's on top of that rock? A church. You got it. So on top of that, this church is called the Church of the Beatitudes. It's a beautiful church in an understated sort of way. Oftentimes you get churches and they're so ornate, you're like, wow, this is like looking at the Episcopal Church. Very nicely, tastefully done in mosaics. As you stand in the front door looking out, you see down the swale onto the Sea of Galilee. If you turn and look in, all around in the dome structure are the different stages of the Beatitudes. And then right in the center, underneath the communion table, there sits the rock on which Jesus sat. It was a very powerful moment. As you leave, it goes out four ways, the four points of the compass. And on each of the paths, they have the Beatitude on ground markers in different languages. So that whatever language you come and you bring, you're able then to enjoy as you leave. Now, having said that, Jesus sat there and said, blessed are you. Now that word that we translate blessed is a very unique word. We oftentimes inappropriately translate it happy. And so the problem with that is we think that when we start following Jesus, every day of our life is going to be this skipping through life and, you know, dancing, and it's like we have, you know, mocha milkshakes all the time. Folks, it doesn't work out that. Alright? The word happy is just not appropriate. It's too short term of an emotion. The word joyous isn't appropriate either. Because the word that sits as this word that we translate as blessed is really makaroi. And as its base, makar, it has a idea of a long-standing, very lengthy gift of something, something very large. So you add the ending onto it, and it's God's favor upon us. So you put the two together, this is a long-standing favor of God upon us. This is where God, in a lengthy way, in a very big way, blesses us when we find ourselves in these situations and in these stages. So this blessedness is really a state of being. It's a state of being that's attached to God's benefits. Now, as we look at these Beatitudes, there's nine different categories. Jesus said this is the place in which you will receive God's long-standing benefits. As I look at it, not all nine of them are like pat on your back, ha ha, funny, this is great. I find oftentimes this is something more difficult. And we humans, as we look at it, we tend to run away from it because we don't see blessedness as this benefit from God. Because we tend to be more selfish in nature. Let me give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, we get this letter. And it comes in non-book, and on the outside it's written all kinds of words. Lots of words. Statements. I opened it up, and I looked inside, and there's a two-page front and back letter, okay? And it's saying how good these people in this church in Texas can pray. So good can they pray, that if I take that prayer hanky that's in there, and by the way, it's a really, really hanky, more a piece of paper, it was a copy of the prayer hanky, and I wrote on my concerns, things I wanted them to pray for on that prayer hanky and send it back along with the donation. whoever said that, got it right, sent it back along with the donation, they would pray, and blessings would roll down upon them. Now, interestingly enough, their view of blessing was money. And if I sent it back, all of a sudden, checks would start flowing in the mail to me. Do you see a flaw here? Do you see there's a slight problem here? First problem, first and foremost, if God wanted to bless me, God would send it. Okay? Secondly, Jesus wasn't the richest person we know. In fact, Jesus owned one garment. And he had zero amount in the bank account. And so Jesus didn't see blessings as money, my 401k is big. I can take a trip to Target, that's how much money I have in my bank account. That's not how Jesus saw life. So he didn't say, blessed are you who are poor, I'll give you money. No, he said it different. And this is where we break down as humans. We tend to look at it too selfish. We want it too much of this life instead of preparing for the next life. The nine categories that Jesus mentioned, none of them say anything about your money. None of them say anything about the kind of car you drive. None say how big the house. Speaks about hunger to live life effectively. Let me give you the nine again. They go like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn. Blessed are the merciful, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted for doing right. Blessed are you who are insulted for Jesus' name, and blessed are the pure in heart. Nine separate categories. They're broken up into three areas. Three separate areas. One area is, this is how you actually are. The second area is, this is the attitude you carry in life. And the third area is, this is the action you're going to take. Each of these are not necessarily, they're not sequential. You don't do from poor in spirit all the way to people talk bad about you. Doesn't go that way. They can be stacked on top of each other. You can be poor in spirit and mourn and be pure in heart. You get the idea. They can be stacked on top of each other. But they're the way of living life. So let's look at these three separate categories. The first is, this is how you actually are. And that's the first two. You are poor in spirit. You are mourning. Both of these demonstrate that you found yourself on the railroad tracks of life and you did not realize there was a train behind you. And it crushed you. And it wiped you out. You realize that everything you could count on in this life has been taken away. Both of these, poor in spirit, and those who mourn, experience loss. Whether it be the death of a loved one, it could be the loss of, say, job. It could be the loss of identity. You could have been defeated. It could be exhausting because you try and try and try and nothing seems to work. And Jesus said, this is a place of blessings. And you sit there and go, what is he thinking? And the reason why it's a place of blessings is resources we counted on in this life has been removed. And the only thing left to count on is divine resources. Things we used to count on, like those things, we realize they're all temporary. And God asks us to realize, to know that only eternal is what we should count on. If we realize that what I used to count on in me doesn't work, I now have to turn to something bigger and grander and greater, which is God. And realize the moment we do that, God provides. In these two, those who are crushed by life, God provides a view of that. An opportunity to see beyond ourselves, to see that this which is temporary is truly temporary, and that that which is coming is grander and greater. So the poor in spirit, they get the kingdom of that. And those who mourn, we need someone to lift them. Their God is for them, to comfort them. And so in these first two, who you actually are, oftentimes, whenever we feel such a feeling of defeat and such a feeling of loss, we look down. God then takes us, gently cupping our face, and makes this look. You'll be able to see there's something beyond this. A love greater and deeper. That's the first one. I actually are. A place of blessings. The second category is about attitude. How are you going to live in this world today? Folks, do not believe that there are many attitudes out there you have the opportunity to. Those are only ones out there. Either serve me, not me, you, or you serve God. There's no other options. You're either serving yourself or you're serving God. There are no other places. Serving me is such a temptation. I'll admit that. It's such a temptation to say, all my resources, I'm going to gobble them up. Everything that's out there, I want it for me. All my resources, I'm going to live for me. I'm going to serve myself. And the problem with this is, if you haven't seen it yet, that we are pulling all our resources in something that's temporary and will ultimately be temporary. And then ultimately, self-defeat. Jesus had a few words to say about this. He said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for me, you will find it. Jesus highlighted that the serving of me is ultimately self-destructive. And that attitude, then, is the opposite attitude of the beatitude Jesus gives us, of looking up and out of who we are. Does that mean you ignore yourself? No. It means that you live for others as you live in harmony with God. These blessed moments are, I'm going to be gentle with others. I'm going to hunger and thirst for right living. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to live purely. Once again, this is directly contrary to our world today, which says you should live for fame and fortune. You should live in such a way that you can party all the time. Yeah, party, party. And you can live for me. Let me give you a story. A teacher's story again. This one talks about how we humans want to live into the moment. We want to be entertained all the time. Because after all, I'm working. So in an alternate universe, two basketball players are outside on the academy court and they're shooting their shots. And they have a little spotlight because it's a little late at night. And they see a limo go by. And these two basketball players go, there's so-and-so, that fourth grade teacher. She makes over $1 million a year teaching my kids. And here I'm out here on this hardwood. I'm busting my back end trying to make a living playing as a basketball player. I just don't think it's right. And you know what happens in our world today? It's exactly the opposite. We pay way more for our entertainers than those who take care of our kids. We pay way more for living into who I am and my need, instead of paying for those who are teaching writing, reading, and arithmetic to our young people. Now, the reason why I share this with you is because the world, the society says fame, fortune, money is the key. And we know that's not right. That there's a right way to live defined by Jesus, which makes civilization most effective. He spelled it out in his sermon. Now, if we choose to live according to the attitudes he gives to us, we deepen the blessedness of our life. If someone comes up and they're rude to us, be gentle. That's a right attitude. If someone doesn't deserve mercy, guess what we should do? Give it to them, because we're the merciful. In terms of living out who we are, we're the pure in our heart. Not living, dabbling in the world, and we're the pure. Our sexual lives, our business lives, our honest practices. We're to do what's right. We're to hunger after God's right way. And if we don't get it, we'll suffer. And we're to thirst after God's good way. And if we don't get it, we'll be parched. If we do that, then we want to serve those around us. We want to serve God. If we do that with that kind of fervency, with that kind of attitude, we, just us in this room, will transform society. That's how powerful this is. That's where the blessedness comes from. So the first set of attitudes you actually are. The second set of attitudes is, here's how we're to live in this world, how our attitude should be. The third one is, what are our actions? And Jesus lifted up three of them. The last three Beatitudes, be peacemakers. It's okay to be persecuted for doing what's right, and it's okay to be insulted for following the name of Jesus Christ. You've heard it many times in our world about our carbon footprint. You know how that is? How much oil or carbon you use as a stamp to put on this world? Well, I challenge you to make a spiritual footprint. How do you touch those around us? How action-wise do we reach out and touch those who are hurting? And Jesus gives us three ways of doing this. For those who are at war with each other, let's be makers of peace. Let's be the ones, instead of fanning the flames, let's be the ones who have the confidence. And talk about love and living in harmony. Let's be the ones who say, this is the right way to live. It is the most appropriate way to live. I will live these four attitudes. And I feel, well, there are some people that are going to come at us and they're going to hit us hard. But you know what? And let's be the ones in this world today making a spiritual footprint that we're all going to do it, not for me. Remember, that goes back to serving self. I'm going to do it because I'm serving Jesus Christ. And the moment I elevate this discussion is the moment a person now sees the grander glory of the reality that we know about, the reality of the love of Jesus Christ. When we do that, we're thinking peace. We're going to do what's right no matter what. If we're doing it for Jesus Christ, we've had an incredible spiritual footprint of those around us. And we're going to demonstrate that there's a better way to live. You know what Jesus called this? A place of blessedness. Long standing. God benefits. Let's go to God. Thank you, wonderful God, for the incredible way our lives have been touched by you. And we live them out. Realizing that when life gets hard, you're there. And you bring the church alongside of us because the church is an extension of you. That whenever you're touched by the attitudes of the world, we're pushing aside and live according to your attitudes of gentleness and mercy and purity, hungering after what's right. And then we're put it into practice. We're put it in practice in such a way that we are makers of peace. Let's stand by and open.